This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Hey, welcome listeners from around the world. And as I say around the world, we are traveling. Actually, I'm here with Carrie and we are in the airport. Yes, we are in at CVG Airport. And that is because we are just leaving our Cincinnati market tour, our property tour and Creating Wealth seminar this weekend. And Carrie and I rode back together. Of course, Coco was over there looking so beautiful. And she was the star of the weekend. But we had some great properties too, didn't we, Carrie?
We did. We had some excellent properties for our investors this weekend.
Yeah. It was a great weekend. You know, we had, I think we had about 32 people or so. And we looked at properties, and I think we've easily had people purchase over a dozen properties probably this weekend. We did the Creating Wealth Seminar, and what I liked about this property tour is the way we did it, of course, over 2 days as usual. And we started the Creating Wealth Seminar Saturday morning, then went to lunch, and then toured properties. And then, of course, we had this grand dinner together. Was that awesome or what?
That was amazing. Yeah. It was just an outstanding dinner by our provider, and everyone raved about it.
Yeah. Our local market specialists, we went to their home, their 5,300 square foot mansion, and it was just beautiful. Like we said, when we walked in, it was like being at a wedding reception. It was just gorgeous.
Oh, the layout. There was about 4 or 5 dining room tables for us.
Yeah, that was awesome.
They had a bartender.
it was great. That was a lot of fun. I think everybody really enjoyed meeting each other, networking together, and just having a good time together. So that was great. And then this morning, we finished the Creating Wealth Seminar, and then we did another bus tour again, 2 days of the bus. And so there were a lot of good properties to look at. We looked at new properties, brand new properties. We looked at historic properties. I couldn't believe how beautiful some of those properties were and how nice some of those neighborhoods. By the way, I want to give a shout out to I hate to do this because every client I didn't mention thinks, well, why didn't you mention me? But I don't have a list in front of me. We're standing at the airport ticket counter literally right now. Maybe we'll take a picture of us doing this. And we just drove also, Carrie. How many states did we just drive through?
Yes, we went through 3 different states en route to the airport.
That's not as big a deal as it sounds, folks, because it's only about an hour drive from this beautiful hotel. We stayed at the AC Marriott Hotel. And this is a part of the Marriott chain that they're bringing over from Europe. And it is gorgeous. In fact, the right word for that hotel is, what is it, Carrie?
Swanky.
Swank. Yeah, very swank, huh? Yeah, what do you like about that hotel?
Oh, I mean, everything from the decor, the staff was phenomenal.
And it was brand new.
Modern,
contemporary. It was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. So driving through the 3 states, we drove through Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky today just to get to the airport, right?
Right.
It's not that big a deal, though. It was about 45 minutes an hour. No big deal. Hey, so talk to us about some of the properties. Let the clients know about some of them. These properties will probably be sold by the time you hear this podcast episode. But, you know, there's some good stuff, and we can find more inventory for you. Just give an example of a couple of them, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. We went through about 3 different cities, 4 or 5 different cities. Hamilton, and
Monroe,
yeah. The Liberty Town, and we saw some good before, during, and after construction. Some 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 3-bedroom, 1.5 baths. We saw it all, ABC classes, which really gave a good perspective to new investors and seeing what kind of construction goes through each property. You know, they see the before, they all, you know, are, oh, it smells in here, look at the floors. But then they saw the after, and they were just surprised. It was just amazing the transformation they can do. And yeah, and we had a lot of interest in the properties. So we hit up Middletown. I mean, we went to 2 or 3 more cities today. Mm-hmm. So it was a good, I like the layout because, you know, like Jason said, you got to do the seminar in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. If you had to leave, you could leave.
Right.
You know, you got to pick and choose which one you wanted to go to.
Right. That was a fantastic arrangement. But it really, our local market specialist here really upped the bar for our next property tour, unfortunately. So if you came to this one and then you come to the next one, boy, we're going to have a tough time competing with that. It was very well done, very well done. One of the things I wanted to refresh your memory on is what I call the Lucky 13. And the Lucky 13 are these fundamentals that help you pick a market. And I'll just go through them real quick because we went through them, of course, this weekend in the seminar. But they are, number one, cost of living, transportation, employment and job growth, education, the regulatory climate, the growth in the community, the rent control concept, the taxation, the regulatory climate. Is it landlord friendly? You know, we want to invest in markets that are friendly to our cause as landlords. Even if it made any sense, and it doesn't even come close to making sense, but we wouldn't do business in places where there is an anti-landlord sentiment. That's certainly not this market, so that's great. Weather, crime, culture and arts, health and healthcare, fun and recreation, population density, and overall real estate market trends. And I tell you, there are some great employers here, some established stuff, really nice. Any comments on that, Carrie?
Yeah, we drove through quite a few communities that, I mean, they have the Westchester Hospital, P&G, GE, IKEA. I mean, they have some great employment opportunities for renters here.
The other thing I notice about this market is that this is a conservative, stable market where people, they grew up here, they stay here because their family is here. I just heard that and noticed that over and over. And I always make it a point to always have a lot of conversations with the service people. If I'm in an Uber car or a Lyft car, I'm going to talk to them. You know, where are you from? Are you from here? I mean, the people at the hotel, I asked many people that question, people at restaurants, and they all said, oh yeah, I grew up here and I'm staying here and my family's here. And that's the kind of market this is. Again, there are three basic types of real estate markets around the world: the linear, cyclical, and the hybrid, that is the hybrid of the two. And this is definitely a very linear market, does not make the news, nothing too exciting, and people stay because of family. In fact, it even goes further than that in terms of the family dynamic, which is interesting. Some of the homes are historical homes here, and they're not your sort of typical rental. I mean, if you talk to any investor, right, Carrie, they'll say, what do they want? How many bedrooms and baths?
Yeah, they want the 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and you're not going to get it here.
Yeah. Well, you will get it here, but it's not, you can go out of the box here, in the sense that a 2-bedroom, 1-bath actually works pretty well as a rental here. And why is that? It's because grandma used to live in that house, and they want to move into that house and have some affiliation or connection to that. So the roots go pretty deep, and that's interesting to me.
Yeah. A lot of the neighborhoods we go through, if we saw a 2-bedroom, 1-bath, you know, the house next to them has the same 2-bedroom, 1-bath. So it's based off of the neighborhoods you're in and which districts you're at to get the A, B, and C, of course, in class properties.
Yeah, definitely. One of the other things that I just want to share is talk a little bit about the fantastic graph in one of the Rich Dad books, Robert Kiyosaki's, one of his books called Who Took My Money? And this graph, I showed it again, and it's just startling when you see it. It shows $10,000 invested in a typical single-family home versus $10,000 invested in the S&P 500 index over 10 years. the $10,000 in the S&P is worth just over $17,000, and that single family home, that humble single family home, I say the most historically proven asset class in the entire world, it was worth $159,000. Now granted, you bought it with leverage, so there's a loan to pay off, and 10 years later that loan balance might be, I don't know, $83,000. But all things considered, if it was just an interest-only loan, so the loan balance stayed the same, the real estate, the humble single-family home, outperformed the sophisticated, glamorous S&P 500 index by 793%.
Wow.
793%. Can you believe that?
No.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's just amazing. And that's because the real estate, really income property especially, the special type of real estate we call income property, is a multi-dimensional asset class. So you get your return from a lot of places versus the stocks, either one dimension, just capital appreciation only, or maybe it's a dividend-paying stock and you get it from dividends too.
Yeah, and I like the example you brought up about your house in California. You know, showing the difference between the land.
Right, the risk evaluator.
Right,
yeah, yeah,
right. Yeah. I think a lot of investors, you know, really opened up their eyes. And, I mean, it was just amazing the returns you can get just from, is it the land or is it the construction cost?
Right, right. The improvement or the land, the house sitting on the land or the land itself. And I talked before about this on the podcast. If you want to take a deeper dive into this, just go to jasonhartman.com and type in Hartman Risk Evaluator. And you can get a whole episode on this, but I'll just touch on it now for a moment since Carrie mentioned it. And basically what it talks about is a phrase I coined called the LTI ratio. Most real estate investors, or even non-investors that just buy their own home, have heard of the LTV ratio, the loan-to-value ratio. But this one is the land-to-improvement ratio. And it is a very, very telling ratio, because it really helps us determine the amount of risk built into any investment. And when land value, the L in the LTI, when land is a big expensive part of the component, that investment becomes far more risky. When you have the land being a low cost, I mean, Carrie, here, this land we looked at over the weekend as a component, you got to remember, you're buying two things. You're not buying one thing. When you say, oh, I bought a property, that, you know, people say that, but what they really usually mean is they bought two things. They bought a house, and then they bought a piece of land. And they bought them together as one thing, but it's really two component parts. So the land here, super cheap, right?
Oh, yes.
And we love these kind of markets because the land is either free, it's literally free, because if you had to rebuild that house, you know that it would cost you more than you paid to buy that, to just to build the house,
right,
not even including the land. But the land is so cheap, even if you buy the lot, it's maybe only $15,000 of the equation. And the house sitting on the land might be $85,000. So that'd be a $100,000 all-in deal. And 85% would be improvement value, meaning commodities, right? What's a house made of? It's made of lumber and copper wire and petroleum products and all of that kind of stuff. So it's really, you're a commodities investor in a way, but you're investing in commodities with 3-decade-long fixed rate financing. And that financing you get, you don't even have to pay the debt yourself. You get the tenants to pay for it. Great deal, huh?
Yeah, that was a key point too. That's really good.
So that house in California that Carrie mentioned, that one had a very high land cost. 81%. It's literally, the equation is flipped on its head. 81% land and 19% improvement on that $815,000 house I bought there. So far, far more risky. Yeah, absolutely.
Just a bit.
Yeah, just a bit. Yeah, yeah. And if you want more details on that, we could discuss that for like 45 minutes. Just go and find the podcast episode on that. There are a couple of them out there. Just go to jasonhartman.com and type Hartman Risk Evaluator or LTI ratio or any of those terms, and you'll find it, and it'll be great. What other highlights from the weekend do you want to share with listeners? And then I want to get to a little video that I want to play for them that I think they'll enjoy.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not going to play the video. I'm going to play the audio track of the video. So just to be clear, you're not watching this right now. It's audio only. But yeah.
Well, what I liked about this tour is, and all the other tours, you know, investors come together and they get to hear each other's stories too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, during the lunch and breaks, you know, they're feeding off of each other and their experiences, and they get the real live, you know, picture of what goes on, the good,
absolutely,
the bad, and the ugly.
Yep.
So that's always a bonus to come to these events and see that and meet people and network with them and know you're not alone.
Right. Know you're not alone and know that we are for real.
Right.
Okay, that's the other thing. I mean, there are so many people out there who are, you know, they're doing a podcast, they're doing internet marketing, they're online, and you hear their stuff, and, you know, they've got educational products or whatever, but you never really meet them, and you never really meet their clients to see that they actually have real clients. Of course, they've always got a few fake testimonials, their brother, their sister, an actor, whatever, you know. There are websites you can buy these fake testimonials on. I've seen them out there, and fake reviews and stuff like that. But you can meet our clients in the flesh. We have several events per year. Come to the next one. Make it a point to come to a live event. Everybody who comes, the evaluations we get are extremely positive. The only time I get a negative evaluation, Carrie, can you guess when that might be? Talking about politics. That's when occasionally I'll get that leftist communist in the audience who says, you know, you should just stick to real estate, Hartman. Shut up about this stuff. But, you know, sometimes I just get off on a tangent. You know?
Well, I don't think Coco is too happy with you calling her a Democrat either.
Coco is a total Democrat. Are you kidding? She sleeps all day. She doesn't have a job. She gets free health care. She gets free food. I mean, free travel, actually. You know, she's going on the plane with us now.
It's true.
Coco gets everything for free. She is a total Bernie Sanders supporter, Coco, completely. I mean, that's who she wants to be president. She doesn't like Hillary too much because she knows Hillary's a crook. But, you know, Sanders, well-meaning guy. At least I can say that for him, even though he lives in fantasy land. Oh, gosh, I don't know. Okay, well, maybe we should quit where we're ahead on this politics stuff, because now I'm getting some bad reviews right now. Oh, gosh. Well, hey, listen, I want to play a video for you that I think you'll find very interesting as it relates to the future and what it means to real estate investors and the economy overall. Time permitting, maybe I'll even plug two of them in here. There's a funny one from the weekend I want to play for you too. So let's do that, Carrie. Go to jasonhartman.com, check out some of the video of our events, and come to our next event. We haven't announced it yet, but any thoughts or ideas on where you think our next tour might be? We got to survey all our investment counselors and our clients a little bit and do that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a preference, Carrie?
You know, we have a few new markets that would be interesting for us to tour, and you know, the Quad Cities,
yeah.
Port Richey.
Yeah, we could do that.
There's a few options
out
there.
Yeah, we've been asked if we would bring a tour to Port Richey, so we already got that. We've been hit up for that one, so we might do it. Who knows? We'll see. And stay tuned for more information on that. Just keep checking on the podcast, and we'll tell you about that. We got to board the plane soon.
Yes.
So let's get over to our gate A18, I think, right?
Yeah, if you're in the airport, we'll meet you there.
Come and meet us. Yeah, we'll be there. And let's just listen in to an interesting audio track from a video I want to share with you. Here it is.
Well, billionaire Jeff Green has been sounding the alarm for years about the destruction of the American middle class. Today, he put his money where his mouth is, having some of the greatest minds from academia, the economics world, come here to Palm Beach to his conference, Closing the Gap, How to Create a More Inclusive Global Economy. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Robert.
This is kind of a new model for a conference where you're basically spending your own money to address a single issue. Why is it so important?
Well, the biggest issue for me for years now has been that the exponential growth of technology and the global equalization of wages has destroyed millions and millions of jobs. And what I have learned preparing for this conference is that what globalization did to the blue-collar worker in manufacturing over 30 or 40 years, artificial intelligence, machine learning, big data, robotics, I believe will do to the white-collar workforce in the next 5 to 10 years. So this is a national emergency, and I'm going to address it myself if no one else will.
Now, you've often told the story. You actually worked as a busboy at the Breakers down the street. Now you live in a $100 million mansion. This is your hotel. Somebody would ask, you have been so successful. Why do you think that system is broken in America? You're proof that it can work.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, I am proof that it can work, but the system we have today isn't the system in which I grew up. I grew up in Worcester, Massachusetts in the 1960s, Robert. It was a working class community. You know, I went to the same public schools as the bricklayers' kids and the pediatricians' kids and the doctor, and the, you know, and the lawyers' kids. And we all got good, solid educations. There were opportunities for people when they got out to get jobs in factories, good paying jobs. And all my friends whose parents were bricklayers and were factory workers, they lived in homes that those families owned. Today, people get out of school. I have friends whose kids graduate top law schools and can't get a job for a year or two. So, you know, we have to do something about it because the job picture is getting worse and worse.
Jeff, let me jump in, if I may, and thanks for joining us here. I just want you to listen to something that Ken Mollis told us the other day about the changes he sees in technology that, while disruptive, aren't necessarily threatening to our society. Take a quick listen.
In our world right now, you have so much technology driving price transparency, pricing power, efficiency. These are great things. I mean, what Amazon is doing, if you're a retailer, look, you better take your profit down and give the consumer an awfully good deal, or Amazon's going to replace you.
So, in other words, Jeff, a lot of the changes that we're seeing, even if they create people in law school who aren't getting the dream job that they wanted, are fundamentally for the good, he would argue. What would you say?
No, it's a disaster. I mean, come on, the way pricing is going to work, we're going to all have such perfect information. Think about when you buy an airline ticket today. You can go on one of the websites like Kayak or Expedia. You'll know in less than 60 seconds what the very best fare is. That's going to be how you're going to buy everything. Margins are going to get squeezed. Retailers are going to go out of business. You're going to be able to buy every product, not only from here, from everywhere in the country. You know, with translation technology, it's not going to be long before you'll be able to price every product from every country in the world.
Yeah.
What's that going to do to American profitability?
Listen, I hear your point, but Amazon's worth a pretty penny. Let me just bring Catherine Rampell in here as well. She has a question. Catherine?
Jeff, thanks for joining us. So you have raised the question of robots stealing our jobs, of course, which is a concern that has been around for centuries, arguably millennia. I mean, I think Socrates said that one day some sort of automated system would replace the weaver. We had Luddites who were destroying threshers, destroying looms, and every time this concern has been raised, mankind has been able to adapt. It was painful initially, but there was an ability to adapt. We transitioned from an agrarian society to an industrial society, and so on. Why is today any different? I mean, why the doomsaying today, given what we've seen historically?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, you could talk about Amazon, if you want to talk about jobs, just look at an Amazon distribution center. The robots are stocking the shelves. Go take a look at the video of a Tesla factory. The welders are robots. This is really happening. This is not the Jetsons anymore. It's not some futuristic story. This is happening today. And let me tell you, the other problem is it's globalization.
But it's happened in the past, we've adapted.
Well, it was different. First of all, we had a relatively closed economy. When I was a kid, basically the economy got good. Everyone bought a Whirlpool washing machine, and then Whirlpool workers went back to work. Now, if you want a washing machine, you know what? That was going to be made somewhere else. Because what happens, as soon as wages get high today, their labor gets replaced either with a technology solution or labor from a cheaper country.
Jeff, I want to ask you about solutions. We all know that this is a problem. The degree of the problem can be debated, but what is one hard, concrete solution that has either come from this conference or will come from this conference that you hope can be implemented?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I've been here all day with some brilliant minds, Robert, and I can say that, Bob Reich, who's the former labor secretary, talks about some kind of guaranteed minimum income. I think that a lot of the talk about lifelong education, people educating our kids, not just in a vocation, which is anecdotally being talked about because of a welder shortage or whatever, but teaching our kids that they may have 20 jobs in their lifetimes, and they have to learn how to adapt,
constant
re-educate
education.
Themselves. So we got to get our education system geared. We have retraining programs. We can't just say that some people, you know, they work in a job. It's not their fault that that industry gets automated and they lose their job. We have to have a safety net to hold them over until they, and then we have to retrain them and get those that want to work a chance to have another job again.
Right. All right. Well, Jeff, thanks for this conference. Bringing together everyone, by the way, from Tony Blair to Mike Tyson talking about the economy. So some interesting ideas to bounce around here. Whether we solve it or not is the open question. Kelly, back over to you.
I've never really thought of Jason as subversive, but I just found out that's what Wall Street considers him to be.
Really? Now, how is that possible at all?
Simple. Wall Street believes that real estate investors are dangerous to their schemes because the dirty truth about income property is that it actually works in real life.
I know. I mean, how many people do you know, not including insiders, who created wealth with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds? Those options are for people who only want to pretend they're getting ahead.
Stocks and other non-direct traded assets are a losing game for most people. The typical scenario is you make a little, you lose a little, and spin your wheels for decades.
That's because the corporate crooks running the stock and bond investing game will always see to it that they win. This means, unless you're one of them, you will not win.
And unluckily for Wall Street, Jason has a unique ability to make the everyday person understand investing the way it should be. He shows them a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Yep, and that's why Jason offers a one-book set on creating wealth that comes with 20 digital download audios. He shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches you how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And this set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered for only $197.
To get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia Book 1, complete with over 20 hours of audio, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.